let him ride. If you want to drive, don't let him ride.
For this evening, Lord, thank you for this place, Lord God, that we are allowed to just come and meet together in your name. And Father, right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, we just ask and pray, Lord, for your presence, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that leads and guides us into all truth, to be with us, Lord God, in and through this time, Father. Lord, we go with your word, Lord, that says to not be anxious about anything, but in all things with prayer and supplication to make our requests known unto you. And so right now, Lord, our request is that your kingdom would come, Father, and your will would be done in all and every area of the lives that we live in this world. And Lord, we pray, Father God, that you would just strengthen us, Lord God, and encourage the hearts, Lord, of your people. Lord, we bind every demonic force, every work of the devil, every hindering spirit, and in Jesus' name we break their hold and their authority and any power that they might have, and we cast it out in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord God, for the free flow of your life and truth and your power in and through us, Lord God. And Lord, as we go forward, Father, acknowledge openly that there's only your Spirit in me that's good. So to your Spirit I yield, and I pray, Father, that every word that's spoken would be your word, Lord God, and that it would be laced with the power of your Spirit, Lord, and break every yoke. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. Okay. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. All right. Cool, cool, cool. And actually, not chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 5. Chapter 5 says, first one says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Excuse me. Let me just keep going a little bit more. "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not from him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you, who shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be." Okay, it goes on, but starting off, now we talked a little bit about this one last time, we're in a series of freedom, this is actually part 3, and when we started with this one, okay, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now there is a process that for every child of life, for everyone that's walking in this life, anyone that desires to walk with him, there's a process that he takes us through, and he leads us through, and he leads us out of if we're walking out of this world. And now the whole purpose of the world and the world system is to catch, to bind, to enslave, to rob, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So it's all designed like that. It's all set up like that. excuse me. The kicker with both of these, whether it's the kingdom of God or the kingdom of this world, is both of them honor free will. Both of them honor that aspect of your God-given makeup where you have the ability to make choice, make decision, and to go with it. So if you choose God, you get him. If you choose the world, you get the world, or self. You know, if you choose self, you will reap the harvest of self, and all of, you know, facilitating whatever selfish thing that you've got going on, whatever personal agenda you have going on. Now, when people are, when they bow their knee before the king, that is a point of freedom. And where, like, and it's a bit of a paradox, just like the cross is a bit of a paradox as well. You would think, okay, how can there be life in death? You know, Jesus Christ goes to the cross, and yet through his death and through his suffering, we're given life and peace. Likewise, you would wonder, okay, how does bowing your knee before the king actually, like, now grant you freedom? And yet that is the place of freedom. That's another one of these universal paradoxes. Whereas, like, if people think that they're free, you're going to bow and serve someone. So, but people that, oh, they rebel against the king, but what they end up doing is they end up rebelling into bondage. They end up rebelling into slavery. They end up rebelling into one of a million different manifestations of the world system. Whether it be, you know, libertarianism, where it's just like, okay, free for all, and sex, drugs, and rock and roll, or whether it's you know, some sort of religious system where it's like, okay, you know, we're not going to do that, then we're going to beat the ones that do. And but that's another form of it as well, because it's again based on self and the, you know, man's ability to save himself and be good enough. You know, so okay, now I'm good enough. Now I've worked my way up in the system, and now I'm something there. So like that. So there's so many different manifestations of the same thing. And so, like, ultimately, when you look at it, think of it like this. You have basically three people in this entire reality. There's you. There's you, the person that's you, that entity that is here existing in this dimension, this paradigm right now. Then you have the devil / spirit of Antichrist / the prince of the power of this world, you know, but you have that one there. And then you have the Father / Jesus Christ / the I Am. And you are, and so the individual you is every day moving on a path towards either Christ or Antichrist, either bondage or freedom, either life or death. So, and what happens is, in every decision that we make, we're making a decision for life or for death, making a decision to walk in the Spirit and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh, making a decision to walk with him and then walk out of the world. So throughout this, we're making decisions constantly that that are either, every time you make a choice, you're making one either to be led by the Spirit and do and follow what it is that he says, or to go the way of self and this world. And see what it's on an inner level. It's on a deeper level, because you won't make sense to the natural mind, because you'll see two people seemingly doing the same thing, but one is doing it from a heart that's in alignment with God, and then somebody else that's doing the same, maybe external action, but that heart has selfish motives, selfish intentions, worldly reason for why it's doing what it's doing. And so, like Joseph or Daniel, you know, those guys are in a similar spot with a bunch of worldly guys, but those guys are doing all things as unto the Father, whereas the other people that are there and around there are doing them, you know, because they want to succeed in the world pyramid. So we make decision, we make choice based on what it is that the Spirit of God leads us into. Now here's where it can get also kind of interesting, because what happens is like, so when you start walking with the Father, and now you, okay, it started out great, yay, like, you know, you feel the freedom and the release of just like not being shackled with, you know, the weight of sin, because he frees you from that, and you experience like just his forgiveness and his redemption and his love, and he allows you to. And then you keep walking. Now you're like, okay, you're listening for his voice and you're going. And then as you start walking, okay, a few things start happening. One is, the world, anytime it sees someone that's free, it's like a big red light goes on with grr, grr, grr. Have you ever seen like those, you know, this like submarine is about to go and get blasted underwater, and like there's falling apart in sections, and inside there's like that siren going off. It's like, yeah, it's that same thing when you walk by. Because on a spiritual level, they can tell when someone is free and when somebody is part of their system. And when someone's part of their system, on a spiritual level, they know where that person fits within the hierarchy of their system. So when somebody shows up, they're very quick to, you know, even assess who that person is on a natural and on a spiritual level and where they fit in the hierarchy. So for example, when you meet somebody, first thing they say is, okay, you know, who, what's your name? And then the second question is, what do you do? Where do you fit in the hierarchy of the world system on a natural level? Because they want to know that on a natural level, and then they also will discern that on a spiritual level. Because you can have somebody that is on a natural level, very high in the hierarchy, but on a spiritual level is several notches down because he's, you know, defaulting to something else. And you can have somebody that's very high on the spiritual and then but very low on the natural. And then you have sometimes the ones that are the synthesis of both, which are the high-end Satanists who are in both places. But all of them, you know, are, and they're always jockeying for position and to be king of the rat hill. And so it's that's part and parcel of what they do. Now, for us, you know, it's like, it's not, you know, what do you do? It's who are you? I mean, like, who do you serve? Where are you connected? Are you connected or not? And when we're connected, when you're connected, for us, this in the same way, we know a brother or sister in Christ. When you meet someone that is a true heart, when you meet somebody that really knows the Father, you can even see him from across the room, and you're just like, okay, there's something different about that. It's like, you know, there's a brother, there's a sister. You know, because the Spirit of God that's in you resonates with the Spirit of God that's in that other person. And they may have their flaws, they may have their hang-ups, but they are one of His. And they're on that process of walking things out with Him. Now, the world, when it sees somebody that is walking things out with Him, it puts in place all of its machinery to basically work a time-tested strategy that is done over and over and over and again on anyone that will try to walk with Christ. And so, you know, last time we talked about like some of the world system goals. One is, you know, to take your soul to hell by your free will and rejection of Christ. It's like, okay, they want to do that. And if it can't get you to do that, so if it can't get you to bow your knee like Luke chapter 4 tried with Jesus, if it can't get you to do that, then it'll work to keep you out of alignment with the Father and to kill you if possible. So it's like, okay, so let's just bludgeon this person with every time they try to do anything, every time they try to walk, make a step, anything, just thrash them. You know, with like whatever they try to do, go after that. Go after their resource, go after their... distractions is one. There's deliberate oppression is another one. Sometimes you have a spiritual attack against the mind, against the body, against, so all of these, so those ones are all coming too. And actually, in one way, what that does is, if you keep walking with Christ and you don't give up, He'll teach you to war. He'll teach you to fight in the Spirit. He'll teach you to, He will make you stronger for that stuff. And then you'll be able to walk through, and when that stuff starts coming up, you know how to respond to it. But it is a see, because they're plugged in to the hive, because they're plugged into the world system, they get their instructions also from the world system. Just like we get our instructions from the Spirit of God, they get their instruction from their plug into the matrix hookup as well that they have. And their response is such that basically they're just waiting for you. You know, it's like, and you don't want to, it's not a thing to be paranoid, but it's just to be aware of. It's like that there are there to screw up your medical treatment and your vehicle and your work assignment and steal the money from your drawer when you're not looking and you know, oh, where'd your cell phone go, and where'd you do this, and where'd you do that, and any, so it's like this constant bombardment that's there. And you know, you can be, it's to be aware of that as well. I mean, you can do some things on a natural level. I mean, you don't have to, on a natural level, just, you know, say, oh, here's my stomach, hit me again. You know, but also God will put us sometimes in situations that are difficult and trying because He's got a greater purpose being worked out. Now, when we follow Him, we're open for that. The main thing that we want to know is, okay, Lord, are you really sending me into this? As long as I know this is you, I'm good. You know, but that's just it. I don't want to put myself in there because of my own stupidity, and I don't want to, you know, like, because I've, so I'm, I, you need to check your motives, check your heart. But when you know that it's Him, it's like, okay, this is Him, so let me take these next steps and see. You know, let me continue to move forward and see. And see what it is that happens, and see where it is that He leads. Because, see, He also has called us into abundant life. So Jesus said, you know, came that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So the abundant life that He calls us into, excuse me, is a, it's one that is a process within, and what we end up going through in the external reality as well as the internal refining is one that leads to a place of just amazing connection and walking with Him. So He'll allow those things to happen. He'll allow the orchestration of our circumstances and our situations for the purpose of leading us into the life that He intended for us to have even while we were here. Now the world, this is again another mystery to the people that are worldly minded. How can you, if you're experiencing pain, be feel like you're being led into abundant life that God has? Because that doesn't compute with the way the world works. The world is set up to gravitate towards pleasure in any form that's there, to avoid pain and to pad oneself completely, you know, and to, and to hell with the rest of the world and whatever happens to them, I just want to get mine. And, but that's not the way with the kingdom and God's people. We just go with the Spirit, and whatever we have is whatever we have. Wherever we go is wherever He leads us. And we know that He's got the best for us, and surely He will provide that and make that way. But it won't be the way that you think it is. You know, like, okay, for example, how many people just want $1 million? I mean, something in the head. It's something in the head of just like, oh, if I just get $1 million, I'll be, I mean, what is it, 995,000? I mean, what is it about this magic number in people's head? No, it's like this it's like this thing that they say, if I can just have enough, I'll be okay. But their trust is in the wrong thing. Because if you have Christ Jesus, you have enough. And that $1 million you have in that bank, that you think you'll be okay with, that bank could be gone tomorrow. If you have it stuffed under your mattress, somebody can sneak in and steal it and take it. I remember in, you know, an old building that my parents used to live in, there were some people that had just a bunch of gold coins, you know, that they had been saving, and, you know, it was a it was a family that had lived through, like, you know, some difficult times. So they had literally gold in their place, in a building with security in the front. And somebody had come into the building, come through, walked in through the door, found their way in, and basically picked that stuff up and taken it and walked away. It's gone. You know, now what are you going to do? Well, if your life was in that gold, and if your hope was in that gold, it's finished. Now what? But for those that trust is put in the Lord, He's right there. You don't have to travel heavy. He will provide you what you need. Now sometimes He will give you some specific instruction for how to prepare for what's to come. And sometimes He won't. Sometimes He'll just say, just go and I'll take care of it on the way. But in all of those, it's like that's also part of His unique way that He works with each individual. So, okay, so the world system, if it can't get you, it'll work to keep you out of alignment with the Father, to kill you if possible. That's also another whole thing about all of the eugenics, H1N1/swine flu/AIDS, all of these different things that are flying around the world. A big part of all of that is is just to kill off people. And to, as much as possible, just to continue to fulfill the mandate of the world system. But specifically for the people of God, and see, that's why too, if we didn't have the protection of God, we would be done a long time ago. I mean, it is just Him that has kept us alive, period. Because if they had their way, their goal would be to put out the light just like they tried to do with Jesus. Anyone that was one of God's true followers, they've always worked to put them out, or to corrupt them, or to get them to sell out, or whatever it is. But they don't want them to basically continue on that path and that track that they're on, which is to follow Him. Because it's a terrifying thing for the people of the world to see someone that is walking with Christ and has not bowed their knee to the world system and is still alive, still around, still able to move forward, and they have all of the power of God flowing through them. At a moment they can just shut down any of that. It's incredibly dangerous for them, for what their objectives are. So they're constantly like trying to put those ones out. But, you know, the third one that we talked about a little bit was, you know, also to ostracize you. If it can't keep you out of alignment, so you've learned this one of like constantly like, okay, you're under attack and you've learned to go back to the Father with things. You don't try to solve this stuff in your own head and in your own like thinking and in you frantically like, what do I do, what do I do, what do I do? No, but you've learned to stop when you're in a difficult situation. You've learned to stop, to bow your knee before the Creator, to wait on Him, and wait on Him for direction, for guidance, for His peace, and for an answer that comes from Him in His good time. And you've learned that. And if you've learned to then like also realign your heart, your motives, so something happens, you're upset, okay, and you take that upset to the Father. You take what could turn into, you know, bitterness or something like that, you take that to Him. You're like, God, I don't want a root of bitterness in my life. You know, just here it is. I'm bringing this before You now. Let Your Spirit work in me to change this so that my heart is right in this situation. So you've learned to keep an alignment with Him. So stuff will always come to like bump you. You know, will you get out of alignment in your mind, in your spirit, in your flesh, you know, will you? And then the Spirit of God will either speak to you and say, here's a place to make correction, and you do if you continue on that track, or you know in your conscience that's right there, which is, this is kind of one and the same, but then you will come before Him quickly with that, saying, I don't want this, you know, I don't want this track, because you can either be going the way of Antichrist or Christ. And I want to keep moving the way of Christ in every aspect of who I am. So if you're doing that, and you decided to make that track, the world will work to then ostracize you, which is basically like, all right, let me push this person out in the desert, you know, to keep you away from any access or opportunity and to leave you in the wilderness, if it can do that to you. Because it's like, okay, it can't kill you, it can't get you to sell out, it can't get you out of alignment, so then let's just put this person in a place where they have as little contact and little ability to do anything at all. But even in the desert, God feeds His people. He's done it for so long and He will continue to do that. So even if they're in the desert, He takes care of them. He brings manna. He does that for them. And we learn that. And see, this is why too, for each stage that we go through, we also transition. You know, we also transition in an understanding of His love for us, of His care for us, of the way that He's always there for us. Somehow, we always seem to make it. We always seem to come through. We always, He's always there when the need is there, He's there. He's always taking care of it. You know, it's like, it's just there. And so if you can look at it like, okay, what you're embracing now on the track with Christ is the experience of life that He takes you through, is the richness of life, is when you're down to like know, you know, who's really His and who's really there, and then what you share in the time of even that is like a beautiful thing that you wouldn't know if you didn't have that. You wouldn't know that if you didn't have. So it's like, okay, whereas, you know, people are, I mean, everybody's happy when everything's up. You know, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, happy days are here. No, but you should be able to appreciate the sadness as well as the happiness, because it's like, and the joy, because, you know, in those you also have the richness of the fullness of what life and these things should be. And you should experience all of these things. You should embrace the whole package of what life is. It's an amazing. I remember, like, you know, sometimes I've eaten some, you know, like I've gone to like some meals and they've had like these special, you know, like full course meals that they've come and serve, and like I oh gosh, and there's a few times where, like, I remember one, I think they served something that's like, I mean, it wasn't necessarily like, you know, my taste, but you know, you try it and it's like, and it's like a but, you know, maybe a bit bitter or maybe, you know, sour or what. But it's like, but it's part of the whole experience. It's part of the whole thing. And you know, to experience that, to enjoy that, to, because it's all part of the entire 8-course extravaganza, which is life. And rather than saying, oh, I just like cornflakes. You know, I just want things to be happy all the time. You know, I just want them to, you know, it's like, no, it's okay. But in the midst of that, it's like, okay, now in the midst of that, how now do you continue to track with Him? So, I mean, even like when you sent me that thing earlier today with in Acts, actually, I mean, like that's a, you know, a super example of, in fact, here, let's just look at that one. Acts 16. Yeah. And actually, like, okay, go back to the verse before we go to the part where it's talking about. But verse 7 in chapter 16 says, after they were come to Mysia, they arrayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after they had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Hey. Okay. So, welcome. Okay. So, you know, this is part of the part three series. All right. So, so chapter 16 of Acts. So it starts off with like, oh, okay, so now we're tracking with God, we're going with what he's saying. Oh, look, vision, man of Macedonia saying, come over and help us. This must be, I mean, of course this is the will of God. And you go forward and then you end up in, skip through the whole, where they had, the whole incident that happened, and verse 22, and when the magistrate rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. I mean, it's like, oh wait, will of God? And at midnight, verse 25, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Okay. Now the rest of the story you don't know in verse 25. You know, you don't know what God is going to work out in this whole situation. But they had an assurance that this was where God had sent them. And they also had come to a place of spiritual maturity to know, because they had been through some stuff with God before. They had been through some experiences with him before. They had seen his hand at work. They had seen him. They knew they could trust him. They knew that no matter what, and you know what, if this is it, if this is the end, if I'm going to spend the rest of my life in this dungeon, in this jail cell, I don't care, because as long as I'm where he would have me to be. And the world would love for that to be the case for you. The world would love to lock you up and throw away the key. And yet, when it does, time and again, we see God just pulling people out, making a way, doing something. Even in the midst of them being locked up, that people are being ministered to, people are receiving the gospel, stuff is happening. So we become very dangerous to that system, because you're like a pinball in a machine bouncing around and just wrecking everything. So they try to lock you up and then the jailer gets saved. They try to beat you and then it's like, and so they try to chase you down the market. It's you become this consistent threat. And so you've been earmarked because of that. And so realize that that's part of the game that's there. But for Paul and Silas in that situation, there is a victory in whatever situation you're in, to just praise and thank God, you know, to consider it pure joy when you face trials of every kind, because you know that the testing of your faith builds patience and goes on character and hope doesn't disappoint. So you know that God is in control of these situations, in spite of what it might seem like. Now, we do need to use some wisdom, and we also have to be honest about motives and intentions and why we do whatever we do. Because see, a lot of times too, if you can be taken advantage of because of your own vanity, your own pride, your own ego, your own subtle desire for something self. It can be very subtle. You know, it can be, you know, you... It It sounds good. It's yeah, this is God leading me out. But if you really dug down below, it's really a self-motive, self-intention, self-glorifying thing that's there. And that's something where it's like you have to let God really deal and show you that. Because this is your soul. And the world, if it can work you, it will. If it can feed that, it will. Because if it can water that seed, if it can make that seed grow, that thing eventually grows up into something that it can use. So, and God, because He loves us, I think it is such a blessing of God when things don't work out, because you can't see down the line. You can't see how many things would have come and how many things that He spares you from in those situations. So, you know, it's like, yeah, we have dreams. Okay, yeah, okay. You're made in the image and likeness of God. You're made with an inbuilt desire to create. I mean, when His Spirit comes alive in you, that nature of His comes alive in you as well. And there is this thing about the creative nature of God where you desire creative expression as well. And it comes out in different forms based on the individuality and the individual character of each person. So someone is an artist, someone is an engineer, someone is an architect, someone is a this, is a that, is, you know, it's like you have great business ideas, whatever, but it's like you have these things that are the desire to create. But then in the midst of that too, the world is looking to rob those talents, to steal those gifts, to take them unto themselves, to use you up, to spit you out. And if it can't do that, to keep you from ever being in a place where you can actually, you know, thrive in that. And actually, in all fairness to the world system, it is their thing. You know, why should they allow you to go into the world and to be something there in that system when you are such a danger and such a threat and the light of Christ is shining through you? Why should they allow you a prominent position in that thing? Because other people could turn and see the light of Christ in you and walk with Him. So why should they allow you that? And you know, I mean, it's like, it's whereas now sometimes what happens is God does work and orchestrate the situation so that you will by some means be in there. But even in that, it's like, it's not the ones that are really on track, they could care less if they really are in there or not. It's like, as long as they're walking in step with Him, that's all they want. Whether they're a janitor, whether they're a CEO, it doesn't matter to them. Position, title, place, whether they have one employee, 1,000, whether they're self-employed, whether they're homeless, whether they're whatever, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. What matters to them is that they're walking in step. Now, you know, we started off with Galatians 5, where it says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." When you are walking with Him and you're walking in this freedom, then everything comes out of the woodwork to try to get you back, to try to get you in it again. And the bondages that come, they come from, well, one, you have the flesh that's there that will, you know, if you have to put that thing under subjection, because if you don't, you know, there are things that are inbuilt in the fallen nature of the earth suit that you're walking around in, that if you feed that, it will become a bondage, it will become a snare to you. And, you know, it's something that, like, you can put that in subjection, but the Spirit of God will lead you in that. So if you're going a particular way, if you're going down a certain path, He'll quicken you, because you want the relationship and connection with God more than you want anything in your flesh. So it's like, you know, whatever it may be, like, God will show you so you can have it coming from there. Bondages can come from there. But this is not a religious thing. This is just between you and the Father. He shows you. He reveals. You ask Him. You ask Him to quicken you and empower you in that area that He shows you, and He does. But continue to persist in that, because you want to walk in the freedom you have in Christ and not in anything that the flesh would be that is counter to what God instructs you to. Then you have the you've got all the stuff coming from external that is looking to get you. So the world system is constantly there, constantly dangling these carrots in front of you, one way, shape, or form. You've got the demonic hierarchy that's at work, that's looking for some hole in your soul where it can latch on. And if you make certain decisions in yourself, it'll see those on a spiritual level and work on those. So like if you hold on to bitterness and you say, okay, this is my right and I can be mad about this and I can be angry about this and who do they think they are and what, okay, so now you've held on to that. You know, it's one thing if you get upset about something, sure, get angry, but then bring it before the Father and allow Him to deal with that and forgive and release, ask Him for a course of action and move on. But if you let that harbor and let that set and let that rot in your soul, then the devil and his minions will see that, and whichever ones of those can latch on to that rot in your soul will work on that and then add some more. And for us, part of the release and part of the freedom is just let it go. It's all right, you know, just okay, cool, no worries at all. Because again too, we come back to the reality that this life is not our home. This world is a transitional thing, and part of the transition here is to have these amazing experiences, both highs and lows, that the Father gives us. And in that process, we, well, one, we can relate to Him, and then two, we also, just that connection with Him gets deeper and deeper as you go through these things with Him. And then there's this richness of life that you've had by going through it a certain way. It's totally different than the shallowness of what the world strives to, which is basically the world just, okay, what we want in the world system is a happy-go-lucky life where I got mine and I don't care about anybody else, and I would just surround myself with constant pleasures and ease and anything that I can do to tickle my flesh, and a bunch of shallow people that tell me I'm great. I mean, it's like, just shoot me if that was my reality. And please. Because none of it's real. None of those people are real. None of the what it is that they are about is real. And you have an anemic, atrophying soul in a person like that as well, who just wants to hide like a coward and not brace what it is to live. See, people of God, people that follow Christ, one thing that happens is they say, okay, Lord, I want You. You know, that's what I want. That's really, in the end, my number one desire. If everything else can be scrapped, but the number one thing that I want more than anything else that could ever be offered to me is, I want You. I want to walk with You. I want to know You. I want to live in connection with You. And You are everything to me. And anything else that comes that is a overflow of that walk and that connection is extra. And whatever it is, it can come and go. It doesn't matter. But I just want You. And then in that process of wanting Him, He leads you in a path, and you embrace every experience and life adventure that comes with that, because He's leading you in a way that will, I mean, you already have Him, but He'll take you to a depth of that relationship with Him where it's just like, it just becomes the point where it's like, it's you and Him, He and you, and you, there's a consummation of even the Spirit of God in you where it's like, there is no separation anymore. You become a true ambassador of light and truth and the kingdom of God in this world. I mean, it's an amazing process that He takes people through. And, you know, here's the other thing too about your natural circumstances and your natural situation. They can change. They can change in a second. You know, they can go up, they can go down, they can go back up, they can go down, 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 then they can go back up, 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 up into the sky and then down to the gutter. But it's okay. You know, they just read the book of Acts and you see that. I mean, it's like one day, it's like they are just, you know, 3,000 people being converted and there's all this great things happening and all. And then the next day, you've got them getting beat up and thrown in jail. And then the next day, they're going to another city and there's another whole set of things and they're meeting brothers and sisters. And it's just like, it's just this roller coaster of a life. But what a life. What a life. You know, but they accept it, they embrace it, they live it. Now, whatever happens with us as well, it's always important that we bring those things back before the Father and we allow Him to speak to us, reveal to us, refine us, show us, because He will help you. You know, He wants to be there with you in these things. So whenever you're in a difficult situation, so like here, even with the Galatians, their desire was, I mean, they really wanted to walk with Christ, but people were taking advantage of that desire. And they were saying, oh, okay, if you want to walk with Christ, well, here's some extra things you got to do. And so, and they were being tricked, they were being brought back under another form of bondage. You know, one thing we started with is you have basically in this reality, it's just you, and if you say in the room, there's only you, Antichrist slash the devil slash Lucifer slash the prince of the power of this world, and Christ slash God slash the Father slash Jesus. You have, that is all that's in the room. All that's in this life and in this journey. And whenever, and you are going one of two directions. You're either going towards the Father and Christ, or you're going towards Antichrist in the decisions that you make and the choices that you make. There's no middle ground. There is, so everybody's on a journey, everybody's on a path, and they make, you know, there is a point, there's a decision point that people come to in life. Where it's like, okay, you grow up and you're living and you're, you know, as a child or whatever, and then it's like, okay, here's your choice now. Do you go the way of the world, or do you choose to go with Christ? I remember for myself very, very, very clearly when I had that point in my life. You know, I mean, it was my freshman year of college. And I remember this because God even spoke to me during that time. And I was in college, I was in university, and you know, I was away from a lot of things that I had known, and I was, you know, and I was surrounded by a lot. You know, there is an athlete, and there is, you know, a student, and there's a lot of things just coming at me. And I remember one night I was in my room and I was just praying. And the Lord spoke to me and He just said, look, He's like, you know the way of the world and you know my way. He says, you need to make a decision, and whatever decision you make, you need to go with it. Basically, it's just like, it's like, you know, choose. Yeah, and it's just like, you need to go one of the, but, you know, whatever way you go with it, you know, go with it. And it's really cool too, actually. You know, if you're gonna go with the world, go all out. You know, if you're gonna go with the world, be the best Satanist you can be. You know, but if you're going to go with God, go all out. Be a full-on kingdom person. Don't do this middle ground thing. But, no, I mean, that night I remember just praying. I was like, Lord, you've been too good. I mean, I know, I was like, and just at that point, I know that in my heart, and just in my prayer and in my time with Him there, that it was like, all right, Lord, I want to do this. I want to walk with you, but you're going to have to show me. You know, because it's like, because there is, for me at that time, there was no roadmap as such. You know, there was no, He gave me a compass. You know, and, you know, I had His word, but, you know, I didn't have a blueprint. You know, you don't get a blueprint, you get a map and a compass. You know, it's like, and you got to go that way. And And you know, and then you're walking that thing out. And at that point in time, I was very alone in this, because it was just like there was not. But as you keep walking on that track, God also knew, and He brought, you know, a few brothers in my life, you know, a few people that also were on track with Him, a few others that were making that commitment in a sea of a lot of people that weren't. You'll always be in the remnant if you want to walk with truth. You'll always be in the minority. You have to understand that you will be in the minority throughout your life. There's not going to be a mass conversion of the world, you know, to Christ. Not when things get bad. People, when things get bad, they get mad, they shake their fists at God and say, "How can I be losing my cushy, comfy life, God?" No, they don't. They're wired that way. You have to resolve and understand in yourself that you will always be in the minority, and what you're looking for, as God keeps you in this reality too, is also those other diamonds in the rough that are His. And because, you know, you're on a mission here as well. You know, God keeps you here as well because He's got purpose for you. So you're like the Navy SEALs on the deck of the Titanic going down. I mean, you're there on a rescue mission, but you're not there to stay. Now, for us, one thing is that we make it a decision and make it a deliberate choice to live free in Christ. And it has to be something that is core and central to the person that you are. I mean, you see, people, one thing that they do sometimes, especially as kind of life goes on, is they justify certain things and they allow for certain indulgences and patterns, whatever it may be. And ultimately what ends up happening is they end up stopping in that spot to facilitate that in their life. And for us, if you want the reality, see, God, He wants to give you abundant life. He wants you to have that. But again, it comes on His terms. So the requirement there is that when He speaks, you obey. And one thing for me is like, one of my desires is I want to be quicker in responding. You know? And sometimes, you know, He does speak and I know it was Him and I delay on that, or I wait a little while to get around, and I'm just like, and then I'm like, no, you know, it should be this thing in you and in me where it's like, oh, I heard his voice. Okay, Lord, I want to go that way. You'd be quick to respond. And that's part of the perfecting process, is when you know that it's Him and you have a reality and an assurance that this is the voice of God. And it'll line up. It'll line up with His Spirit in you. It'll line up with His Word. It'll line up with your conscience. It'll line up with every aspect of who you are that's in Him. But to be able to respond in those times quickly, and to make a decision and to go with it. Now, this is also something that only the Spirit of God can do in you, because you're wired a certain way in your natural self apart from Him. So He's got a greater He that's in you than He that's in the world. I mean, He's got to, the power that's there in Him has to make the way to do that which you couldn't do in yourself. And you know, and there's some amazing transformation stories in the scriptures when we read through and when we go through and you look at like the kind of people that people were and then the kind of people that they became under the power of the Spirit of God. I mean, like, just thinking since we're talking Acts, Peter and Paul. I mean, Peter and Paul, it's like Peter is this, you know, brash, ear-chopping, you know, denying Christ to a servant girl, scared to be associated kind of guy. And the transition from that to standing up in front of the very people that killed Christ and the power of God flowing through him and the ability. And it's like he became a changed person. The same guy that didn't want to be associated with Christ when he was crucified upside down willingly. He went to his own death. And even then when he said, look, I you know, when they wanted to crucify him, he asked to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel he was worthy to be crucified the same way as Christ Jesus was. I mean, what a transition. You know, what an example. What an amazing place that God had brought this guy to. And Paul, I mean, here's this young, zealous, murderous religiophile, you know, and who goes through an entire transition to become this advocate for the very thing that he was trying to destroy. Yeah. And God taking all of that wisdom and all of that knowledge and everything that he had put, you know, that he had already gone through, and sanctifying that, and then taking that and using all of that for his kingdom purpose in and through that guy's life. And it was never about the result as such. It was about the life and the person that they would be in Christ Jesus. See, people focus all the time on results. And it's not about results. It's about walking with him, because there's something bigger going on than, you know, whatever program you can run or whatever good you think you can do for someone else. It's like the good that happens needs to be just an overflow and a manifestation of the heart and the leading of the Spirit behind it. So it's very different. So but for us, one of our goals, one of my goals, is to live free in him. And whenever it is that something comes up and I realize that this is, you know, not part of God's plan, purpose, will, way, and sometimes it takes you a while to figure that out, but when you realize it, then you pray and like, Lord, would you please show me now what to do about this situation? How now do I walk? What now do I do? You know, because my goal and my desire is to walk with you. Now, the cool part too is if you've been walking with him and you've been checking along the way, he will, by and large, keep you out of a lot of situations that, you know, would be disastrous for you. But you know, along those ways too, sometimes he will let you be in something that may seemingly be a difficult thing, but because he's teaching you something, because he's growing you, he's stretching you. But in the middle of that too, when he quickens you, it's like, all right, Lord, how now do I respond in this situation? So when Paul and Silas are in Acts 16, in verse 25, the Spirit of God quickening response is, just praise me. Just thank me in spite of the situation that's here. In spite of everything that's going on in your life, just praise me. Then they do. And the transition that had taken place in their hearts from the people that they used to be to the people that God made them into as a result of their submission of their free will to his will. See, it comes down also too to your free will. We make decision, we make choice. And the prayer that we're taught to pray is, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. And it's a prayer of willful submission to whatever it is that God's doing. So you and I say, Lord, we choose that. We choose your light. We choose your truth. We choose to be, to basically our lives and everything that we are be opened up to the floodlight of your Spirit. Whatever's going on, for it just to be seen and to be seen openly, in just is right there. And help me, Lord, make the change. Whatever it is necessary, make that change. But I need to walk with you because there's nowhere else I can go. It's like when the disciples, when Jesus gave a really tough word in John chapter 6, and he turned around to the 12 and he said, you know, are you guys going to take off too? And they said, Lord, where else are we going to go? You got the words of eternal life. And for us, it's like we realize that he has that. You know, where else can we go? I mean, there's no other game in town. You know, this is it. There's nothing else that's worth giving up for what this pearl of great price is. You found truth. You found life. You found what it's all about. It's Him. Like when people are wondering, oh, what's life all about? It's Him. That's the answer to the question. What am I doing here? It's for Him. It's all about Him. The whole thing is about Jesus. And if that question is answered and that answer is applied to the life that you now live in the world, you will experience the freedom and the abundant life that God intended for you. Yes. And I think actually time is just about up anyway, so we're in an amazing time right now. We really are. Amazing time in the world, amazing time in the lives that we live in Him. And if anyone wants that, if they want freedom, He will give it to them. He will allow you that honor and that privilege of living free in Him for every day that you're here. He'll transition you into that, and He will walk you and lead you through that. But it comes on His terms, and it comes in a place of submission to the work of the Spirit of God and going whatever journey that He has for you to go. In Acts chapter 15, if they knew that the man from Macedonia vision was going to lead them into jail, the child of God, the Son of God, still goes. Yeah, they don't back down. They still go. Which is also part of the gratefulness that we should have to God for not knowing a lot of things. There's a lot of things that I would rather not know. All I need to know is that He's sending me. Because, you know what? Why borrow trouble from tomorrow that you don't have to deal with? Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. So like, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what's coming up, because He knows. That's the Matthew 6 end of the chapter. It's like, it's just, look, sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about the other stuff. Just do what it is that He shows you. Do what it is that I show you to do, and I will lead and guide you through this thing. That's part of what freedom is as well, is not having to worry about that. Not having to be anxious about anything. Not having to be worried and concerned and perplexed about anything, because He's in control. And really, when you think about it, how much do you really control anyways? You know, you can't control your spleen or your heartbeat or your, you know, kidneys.
But if you do negative stuff, then it will affect your whole being.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. And that's why too we bring our whole being into alignment with the Spirit of God as He quickens and empowers you, flesh, spirit, body, soul, everything that you are. Just bring it into alignment with Him. He will lead and guide us in the path of freedom, abundant life, and into all truth. And we stop there because time is up. We'll be right back.